This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we have a request. If you are genuinely enjoying what we do here on the Internet Marketing Podcast, then please leave us a review on iTunes or your podcast app, because it really helps us to grow the podcast and ensures that we bring you great marketing tips and advice each week. Today, I'm joined by Sajjad Ghanizada, product leader, marketer, and mentor at Kabul Founders Institute. Sajjad, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm very, very well. And you're in sunny Washington, US, on the East Coast, aren't you?
Absolutely. I wish I could say it was sunny. We're actually freezing out here.
Oh, are you? Is it quite cold? Yeah, of course, you're in the Northern Hemisphere, so and it's winter at the moment, so it's probably going to be quite cold, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It always tends to be very cold out here.
Right. Now, let's start off. You tell us a little bit about yourself and your what you do there at Kabul Founders Institute.
Sure. Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I initially started out working at the United States Homeland Security in the computer security field.
Wow.
From there, I launched my first company after I left the government, and then moved over to San Francisco, where I worked on a few startups. And now I help out and mentor at the Founders Institute and a few other organizations. And then occasionally I write online as well.
Wow. Now, today we're going to be talking about selling your apps on Facebook. And I just wanted to start off, Sajjad, with just sort of zooming out a bit, if that's the correct term, negatively zooming out, and talking about generally the demographics and why sort of Facebook ad demographic targeting can be expensive.
Sure. And, you know, just to give our listeners a bit more context, one of the ways that Facebook serves ads to individuals is that when you're creating your ads, you get the ability to choose demographic information. And there are a wide variety of things that you can choose from, gender, location, household information, incomes, and many other options. And one of the ways that people initially get started with Facebook ads is when they are creating their ads, they quickly go through those and they select demographic information based off of maybe a user persona that they've developed or how they imagine their users are. So marketers tend to always have this very targeted view of their target users. And one of the things that they'll quickly realize that they can validate through Facebook ads is that their impression of their users and who they think their users are, often tends to be very incorrect.
Yeah.
And you'll definitely learn that when you're using demographic targeting in Facebook, because what will end up happening is that once you launch your ad, the people that these ads will be served to will not interact with your ads. So you will have what's called a relevancy score in Facebook. It'll be very low.
Yeah.
Meaning users are not interacting with your ads, or they're interacting negatively. They are blocking the ads, or they're hiding them, or they're leaving negative comments. And you'll realize quickly that the cost of serving those ads to those individuals will start to kind of climb and kind of spin out of control. And that's why demographic targeting tends to be probably what I think is the worst way to go. Especially if you're running a startup, if you are just launching a mobile app and you don't have the multi-million dollar, multi-billion dollar budgets that some of these larger organizations have when they are running ads.
Yeah. Now, I know that you're quite positive. You're more positive about sort of Facebook custom audiences, aren't you? Using that to sort of target users. Tell us how that works.
So one of the reasons that I'm very confident about using Facebook custom audiences is because I've had the ability in previous ventures to try it multiple different ways. So I've gotten the chance to explore every different way of running ads on Facebook. What I've found is that when I'm running Facebook custom audiences, if I create the right audience group and target my ads to them, the ad costs will actually, what I've been able to do is I've been able to drive the ad costs lower than market averages. Mm. So one of the ways that you do this is, as a marketer, you often have a lot of landing pages and a lot of different properties online where you are serving content, targeting your target user so that you can generate leads through that content and collect email addresses and get in touch with these individuals. All you have to do is export out the email addresses of the individuals that you want to target or that you want to pull demographic information from. Mm. Throw those emails into a Facebook custom audience. And what that will do is Facebook will match those email addresses to Facebook accounts. One thing to keep in mind with this, of course, is that not every email address is going to associate with a Facebook account. So you really want to make sure that your custom audience size is at the very minimum between 500 to 1,000 users. And yeah, often I like to kind of aim a little higher than that. So I like to create an audience size of a few thousand.
Yeah.
And once you do that, you can create what's called a lookalike audience. So you just click on that custom audience, select create a lookalike audience, and create the smallest percentage lookalike audience that you can. Often that's 1% of Facebook's overall audience. So that lookalike audience will be an audience of about 1 to 3 million users, and then serve your ads to them. And when you do that, you'll realize that because Facebook pulled demographic information from individuals who have already expressed interest in your content by opting into your email lists, these ads will definitely target the right people. It'll target the types of people who would have been interested in your content anyway. And from there, you can kind of redefine your user personas and target your users better and actually get those low-cost app installs that you were aiming for.
I'm quite interested, actually, Sajjad. What's your experience of people's knowledge of custom audiences in Facebook? Is it quite well known, or do people not know about it?
I find that a lot of people don't really know about it. Unless you are into mobile app marketing, which is a very competitive space, you tend to not use custom audiences as much, even though I find that any piece of marketing that discusses Facebook ads always talks about custom audiences. But it's a hard thing to trust, because if I am uploading an email list of 2,000 of my users, it's really hard for me to, and marketers are very skeptical. We're very skeptical people. It's hard to believe that based off of this list of email addresses that I'm throwing in, Facebook is going to honestly build an audience of 1 to 2 million people that are going to be a good target for my ads. Because, of course, one of the things to keep in mind is that the more people Facebook is serving your ads to, and the longer you are keeping that going, the more money they're going to make from you as an advertiser. But of course, they are incentivized to make sure that you target the right people, to make sure rather that they target the right people, because if your ads are being served and you're getting installs and things are working out well for you, you're going to continue to pour money into Facebook as a platform.
Yeah. And just zooming in a little bit more onto specifically marketing, you know, your app, if you created an app using Facebook, we have this CPI, which we often think of as standing for cost per impression, but here it's cost per install. And I know that it's good to try and get that as low as possible, isn't it? How do you do that?
Yeah, so interestingly, when we talk about cost per impression, cost per install, Facebook refers to cost per impression as a CPM. And that actually took me a little while to wrap my head around.
A subtle little difference.
But, you know, marketer acronyms are very interesting.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you realize as a marketer quickly when you start learning about costs of average app installed is when you're looking at different types of markets where app install ads are served, the average cost in industry research reports tends to be anywhere from $8 to $10 per app install, or just a little bit lower than that. But that's an overall industry average. You can certainly do a lot better than that if you know how to use the ad platform. The best approach that I like to take to get low cost per install mobile app installs is I like to go ahead and target individuals within a lookalike audience. Again, that's built off of a custom audience with my ad. Make sure that those ads are, each ad is in a separate ad group so that I can test the ad and see which ones are getting lower installs than the rest. And then kind of optimize it from there. And there are a couple things that, a couple indicators that you want to look at when you're running these ads. So initially, when you run your ads, the cost per install is going to be pretty high.
Yeah,
you have to let that run for a little bit just to see if it averages out and lowers. You look at your CPM, so you actually do look at your cost per 1,000 impressions.
Yes,
and then you check your conversion rate. So depending on your conversion rates, you can kind of tell whether it's bad targeting, or if you can just optimize your ads and get those lower. So what I look for is I want to make sure I have a low CPM, so a low cost per 1,000 impressions, and then a high click-through rate, so people are actually clicking and interacting with my ads. And then more important than both of these is a really high relevancy score. And the way Facebook determines relevancy score, it's scaled from 1 to 10. The lower that number is, the more expensive your installs are going to be. When I run ads, I like to make sure that all of my ads have a relevancy score of 10. I really don't go any lower than that. If it has a relevancy score of 9 or lower,
yeah,
I find that the cost of my ads kind of starts to rise exponentially.
So if you had one top tip or a key takeaway for our audience today, Sajjad, what would it be?
A lot of times as marketers, you're always told to experiment with different platforms and experiment with multiple platforms to determine what works best for you. I find that if you have a low budget and if you need to increase your installs right away and kind of get the ball rolling, stick to Facebook and definitely use lookalike audiences that are built off of custom audiences to target these individuals. Your money is always well spent on that platform because I find that they have the best targeting. And then once you have the budget to explore other platforms, you can start to split your budget and explore things like Google AdWords, Google Universal App Campaigns, Reddit, Quora, and other platforms.
Well, Sajjad, thanks so much for joining us today. How can our listeners find out more about you?
There are two ways that I can be reached at. You can check out my website at www.sajjad.co, that's S-A-J-A-D, or you can email me, and I'd love to answer email at me@sajad.co.
I love nice short emails. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. The show notes are on the usual place, scientvisibility.com/IMpodcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review, like I mentioned at the beginning. We're always open to suggestions, both for future topics and possible questions. Email is podcast@scientvisibility.com. You can tweet us at Site Visibility. And also remember, we have a Site Visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from Sajjad.
Goodbye, everyone.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.